Hello and welcome to the 7 Days of Gaming E3 Bumper episode. This will cover the 2 weeks from the 8th to 22nd of June and contains all the biggest PC gaming stories from E3, as well as the regular news. We've got Project Cars 2, the biggest XCOM expansion yet, Forza coming to PC, The Crew 2, another shot at paid mods, BioWare's new IP, Assassin's Creed Origins, Star Wars Battlefront 2, first Oscar probability for a game, big changes for Minecraft, Steam Direct, GTA 5 modding scandal, and a GameStop credit card breach. Let's get to it. From the 22nd Electronic Entertainment Expo in Los Angeles, this was the first E3 to admit members of the public, 15,000 people paying between $150 to $250 each for the privilege. They joined over 53,000 industry professionals and press, 3,000 more than last year, making the total increase of visitors over 8,000. While the other numbers haven't come in yet, last year's show exhibited 2,300 games and hardware products and had 300 exhibitors. While the next two expos will be held in LA, the Entertainment Software Association are not sure if they will return to the venue. The association say Los Angeles Convention Center will need to modernize and upgrade their facility in order to retain the expo, and they are looking in particular to expand their floor space. They are also undecided as to continuing to allow public access as they met a few problems, varying from badly designed crowd flow to a lack of privacy for off-camera conversations due to the prevalence of vloggers. Many have reported excessive waiting times and lines, even to the point where they have decided not to come again, something that will definitely have to be solved before the show returns. A standalone release for the Dishonored universe is arriving on the 15th of September. Dishonored, Death of the Outsider, is a sequel to the stories of both Dishonored 2 and the episodic story DLC of the first game. It follows Pirate, former assassin, and now cybernetically enhanced Billy Lurk, as she returns to her former master and fellow killer, Dald. Dald reveals they have a target by the name of the Outsider, the force of chaos that is the source of their supernatural abilities. The original voice actors appear to have reprised their roles, and the game looks to be continuing with the dual character setup of Dishonored 2. Project Cars 2 will launch on the 22nd of December, according to a new announcement from devs Bandai Namco. Improvements on the original include dynamic weather, off-road racing on both dirt and snow, and VR support at launch. Players will also be able to race in multi-class events that mix cars of various types, a selection of real-life races like Le Mans, and build a career in 9 different motorsports, from rallycross to go-karts. Fortnite, the game describing itself as an action builder, will be entering early access on July 25th. The game finds players leading a team aiming to rebuild a world plagued by storms that spawn mysterious monsters. There will be a mix of both traditional combat and base and trap building mechanics, which you will have to juggle at the same time. The title will be released through the Epic Launcher and is developed by People Can Fly in conjunction with publisher Epic Games. Total War, Warhammer 2 will be released on the 28th of September, pitting 4 factions against each other as they vie for control of a powerful vortex. Pre-ordering the game will also unlock a new, currently unannounced race, and a post-launch patch will merge the new continent map and the old world map from the previous game into one, allowing you to play a campaign across the whole thing. War of the Chosen is the latest XCOM 2 expansion, and it's a big one. It adds new enemies, environments, missions, classes, and fellow resistance factions. The whole campaign centers around the Chosen, elite aliens with specific abilities who have been tasked with pursuing XCOM across the world. As the campaign progresses, each side gets stronger and stronger in an arms race to supremacy. The Chosen can also kidnap your soldiers if they choose to and will taunt you on the battlefield for past losses. You also have the task of managing the politics of 3 new resistance factions, each featuring their own styles, and must keep them on your side if you want to take advantage of their technology and agents. One of the new environments is Lost Cities, filled with human-alien hybrids that will attack anyone, making for some intense 3-way fights. There are also a bunch of smaller improvements, like soldiers being able to bond together and daily challenges. Don't Starve, Invisible Ink, and Mark of the Ninja devs Clay have unveiled yet another new game. Grifflands is a colourful RPG that invites players to charm, fight, negotiate, cheat, explore, steal, and profit their way through the game world. Morality choices will make up a good section of the gameplay, and battles will see groups of fighters face off in a turn-based style. It will be out early next year. Forza Motorsport 7 will be the first complete, mainline game of the series to release on PC, something you can attribute to Microsoft's appetite for a universal platform. It comes replete with over 700 different cars, and improvements on dynamic weather, real-time puddles, more important than you think, and some new lighting effects. The PC version will have unlocked frame rates, support ultra-wide screens, 4K support, cross-play with the Xbox One, and will be compatible with nearly every peripheral and controller on the market. However, the game is a Windows 10 exclusive, and will likely only be available through the Microsoft Store. Another incoming sequel is The Crew 2. Arriving early next year, it features off-road vehicles, aircraft, and watercraft. It boasts competitions in a multitude of disciplines found across the whole of the US, including pro and street racing, exploration, and freestyling. Players will be able to do things like fly over the Rocky Mountains, race through New York City, powerboat down the Mississippi, and hurtle through the Grand Canyon on a motorcycle. Personal achievements will also be set as challenges for others to complete. You can register for the upcoming beta online. Ubisoft Singapore is making a continuation of the naval combat in Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, this time in a complete game called Skull and Bones. Taking place in an open world set in the Indian Ocean, players can combat with or against friends, either against AI pirates and sea monsters, or in 5v5 combat through a variety of different game modes. Different classes of ship will be available, and will of course feature customization. A single-player campaign will also be included, and rather than being separate, will be, quote, integrated into the game. Ubisoft say players will meet iconic characters and battle memorable rivals. It has some elements of realism, like the fact you must pay attention to wind direction as it shifts around, making sure you can stay mobile. The title is due in the latter half of next year, and will also have a beta period. Bethesda have unveiled what they think might be the solution to the paid mods problem. The Creation Club service is an in-game digital marketplace for Fallout 4 and Skyrim Special Edition across PC and consoles. Credits are bought using a service like Steam, are transferable between games, and are used to buy mods. To clarify, Bethesda have released this statement. Mods will remain a free and open system where anyone can create and share what they'd like. We won't allow any existing mods to be retrofitted into Creation Club. It must all be original content. Most of the Creation Club content is created internally, some with external partners who have worked on our games, and some by external creators. All the content is approved, curated, and taken through the full internal dev cycle, including localization, polishing, and testing. This also guarantees that all content works together. We've looked at many ways to do paid mods, and the problems outweigh the benefits. We've encountered many of those issues before, but there's a constant demand from our fans to add more official, high-quality content to our games, and while we are able to create a lot of it, we think many in our community have the talent to work directly with us and create some amazing new things. BioWare have revealed a completely new IP, named Anthem. It centers around a planet overrun by huge, monstrous creatures and violent lightning storms. Humanity have sequestered themselves behind a colossal structure called The Wall, and live in a shantytown named Fort Tarsus. The environment has a focus on the immense, with huge trees making up a rainforest-like terrain. Details story-wise are still thin on the ground, with BioWare saying players are called to defeat the forces plotting to conquer humanity, and will be able to delve into a vast world teeming with amazing technology and forgotten treasures. One of the people working on the story is Drew Karpyshyn, a 12-year-old veteran of the company who worked on Baldur's Gate 2, Star Wars The Old Republic, and the Mass Effect series. Anthem has been termed a live service game, a persistent online title similar to Destiny 2 and The Division. It can be played alone or with up to three other players, using a drop-in, drop-out system. BioWare also claim it will feature a disruptive new social design. Characters will often operate within mech suits, and these can be customized with weapons and equipment in addition to their built-in jetpacks. These different configurations will act like a class system, and it is likely there won't be any actual fixed classes. Handheld weapons are also available, and come with 5 stats: damage, accuracy, range, rate of fire, and ammunition, in addition to levels relating to whether you are skilled enough to wield it, and a rarity property. The current release window is late next year. A confirmation and a bevy of new details have arrived for the next Assassin's Creed installment, Assassin's Creed Origins. Set in ancient Egypt, it follows Bayek, a Medjay, who were an actual ancient regional group that became mercenaries for the Egyptians and later a paramilitary force. According to Ubisoft, the entirety of Egypt will be available as an open world, and players can move around on foot, horse and camelback, and by boat. Both naval combat and tomb raiding mechanics will be returning. A wide variety of wildlife roams the deserts, and crocodiles and hippos can be found lurking in the waters. A new reaction-based combat system is making its debut, as well as Bayek's pet eagle, which he uses to get an overview of situations. Pricing for the game ranges from $60 to $800, with the most expensive version of the game including a 29-inch tall resin figurine, a hand-drawn map of Egypt, a replica eagle skull amulet, among a plethora of other things, and is limited to 999 copies. As the PC Games Network points out, $800 is actually enough to hire an actual assassin. It comes out on the 27th of October. Life is Strange Before the Storm is a three-part series, continuing on with the same characters from the 2015 original. Details on the story haven't been revealed, but it appears to have a coming-of-age tone and perhaps some elements of teenage rebellion. First episode arrives on the 31st of August. Ori and the Blind Forest is another game getting a sequel. Ori and the Will of the Wisps will let players discover the mysteries behind the Forest of Nibel, uncover the hidden truths of the lost, and unravel Ori's true destiny. There is no release date. 4A Games are returning to the Metro series with Metro Exodus. In contrast to its predecessors, it will use a mixture of linear and sandbox levels, as well as a dynamic weather system, a day-night cycle, and a change of seasons as the story progresses. The plot will continue from Metro Last Light and takes place in the year 2036. The 23rd installment in the Need for Speed series is Need for Speed Payback. With car customization an integral part of the game, three different characters with their own styles and skills will work together to pull off heists and other action sequences in an effort to defeat a cartel. It will feature offline single player and releases on the 10th of November. The creators of adventure game Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, have announced another game in the same vein. A Way Out sees two players take control of Vincent and Leo, two prison escapees who journey through the countryside to reunite with their families. The game can only be played in local split-screen or online co-op, with local being preferred by the devs. Quote, "To get the full experience and feel, we want you and your friend to play it on your couch. It will release early next year." Star Wars Battlefront 2 won't have a season pass, unlike its predecessor. Instead, there will be several seasons of themed content, all coming completely free. The first round of content is related to the upcoming film The Last Jedi, and will contain, like all the other seasons, maps, characters, vehicles, modes, weapons, star cards, and more. EA have also revealed that a more structured class system will be used, similar to the one found in Battlefield, consisting of a medic/support class, a medium to close range all-purpose class, a heavy class, and a sniper/specialist class. They have also overhauled the air combat system, allowing a larger flight space and better controls. Progress is made and content is unlocked through an in-game currency, which can be bought if you so wish. However, EA reiterate that everything can be unlocked through gameplay, and making a purchase is not at all necessary. They also affirm that it won't be pay to win. The game is due out on the 17th of November, and pre-ordering will get you some exclusive cosmetics, early access to several star cards, weapons and vehicles, as well as entry into the beta. NASCAR Heat 2 will improve upon its predecessor, NASCAR Heat Evolution, by presenting a game with a lot more depth. Both the Xfinity series and Camping World Truck series will be added, as well as local split-screen multiplayer. Online multiplayer will be upgraded to include leaderboards, stat tracking, and optional AI players. The career mode is also getting some changes, removing a lot of the grind and making sure the early stages are fun to play. Smaller additions include drafting physics, better handling, more detailed paint job customizations, and 42 presets for each track, tweaking things like difficulty, physics modes, and the amount of pre-race setup control. It is out on the 12th of September. Bethesda have revealed Wolfenstein 2: The New Colossus, developed by Machine Games. It is set in 1967 Nazi-occupied America, and follows BJ and an American resistance as they try to set up a second American Revolution. It seeks to improve upon previous games by giving more character to BJ, and not just have players play as him, but also feel like they are him. Joining him will be a cast of new and returning characters, as will a host of new weapons, both ranged and melee. Dual wielding with an ability to freely mix weapons will also be available, as will the added difficulty of enemy commanders being able to call in multiple reinforcements. It releases October 27th, and there may even be a third game, based on how well this one does. Tropico 6 is on the way, this time giving players a four-island archipelago to manage. Using a new engine based on Unreal 4, players can establish new means of transportation and infrastructure, give election speeches, play four-player co-op or competitive, and even send your agents on raids to steal famous wonders and monuments. More details are to be announced in the future, and it releases sometime next year. Bungie says Destiny 2 on PC won't be a port. It'll be something, quote, built from the ground up to be awesome on that platform. They also say it will support the types of features PC gamers expect, such as an uncapped frame rate. However, it will also launch after the console versions, 7 weeks in fact, on October 24th, and will only be available on Battle.net. The co-op zombie slayer Metal Gear Survive has been delayed until early next year, as devs Konami claim they needed more time to polish the game. Set in the Metal Gear universe and directly after Metal Gear Solid 5, Ground Zeroes, Survive sees up to 4 players defend themselves against zombie-like enemies when employing a host of new weaponry. Konami say it will offer a fresh take on the series and also won't be a full-price game. The Monster Hunter series, previously relegated exclusively to consoles and handhelds, is now coming to the PC. The aim of the game is to go around slaying or trapping large monsters in various terrains, then using the loot to craft new weapons and take on even bigger monsters. This latest version will have 4-player drop-in co-op, as well as destructible environments, an open world, and a day-night cycle. Players can use all the weapons from previous games as well as some new ones, and use specialized gear to camouflage themselves or lure monsters into a trap. It releases early next year. And the rest of the headlines. Everything, the game from Mountain creator David O'Reilly that attempts to simulate, well, everything, has become the first game to be eligible for an Oscar. The game has a mode where it can essentially run itself, moving between the different levels of creatures and objects automatically. This technically makes it a randomly generated animated film, which meant it was eligible for, and later won, a jury award at the Vienna Shorts Festival. The game also has regular quotes throughout, from a 20th century philosopher Alan Watts, fulfilling another one of the criteria in the prize's description, a film that has a strong poetic and philosophical theme, beyond being entertaining. Having won the Vienna Prize, it is now eligible for an Oscar in Best Short Film, under a special rule that admits entries after winning certain awards. CD Projekt Red had been the target of a ransom attack from an unidentified party or individual claiming to have a selection of internal files relating to their upcoming title, Cyberpunk 2077. While the amount demanded hasn't been disclosed, CD Projekt have released a statement saying they won't be responding to the demands, meaning the files will soon be released to the general public. However, the studio says the documents are old and largely unrepresentative of the current version of the game. Logitech have revealed a full-sized mousepad integrated with a wireless charging base, designed to eliminate power issues for wireless mice. The company says the pad uses a proprietary technology named PowerPlay that they have spent the last 4 years developing, and differs from the competition in that the base is underneath the whole surface, as opposed to just one corner, like Corsair's offering. To complement the new technology, 2 of Logitech's mice have been upgraded to be compatible with charging, as well as receiving new switches and their light-speed wireless receivers. They claim a response time of 1 millisecond and are priced almost exactly the same as their older versions. GameStop have confirmed that they suffered a major security breach between August last year and February. A suspected keylogger installed on the GameStop website has allowed hackers to steal credit card numbers, complete with expiry dates and security codes, as well as customers' names and addresses. This means instead of a database breach, the information has been stolen as it was entered online. If you bought a game through the GameStop website between the 10th of August 2016 and the 9th of February 2017, then you are at risk. Steam has waved goodbye to Greenlight, bulk approving many, but not all, of the 3,400 games awaiting judgment. In its place, as previously reported, is something called Steam Direct. Now all a developer has to do to release a game on Steam is pay a $100 fee and fill out some paperwork. After a short vetting process that makes sure the title actually works and isn't malware, the game is good to go. And if your game makes over $1,000, you even get the feedback. Steam say a large number of games that got through Greenlight only existed to abuse the trading card system. They hope the fee will be enough to deter anyone releasing a, quote, game-shaped object in pursuit of some free cards. In regards to how this new process will affect the amount of games released on the platform, Valve say, we aren't quite sure whether there will be a lot more new submissions, or just a bit more, or even fewer. It's most likely that there will be an initial surge of new submissions, and then a new rate somewhat higher than what was coming through Greenlight. Sometime in the future, they will post an update on the statistics and dev behavior. Humble Bundle have expanded their Humble Monthly subscription service, now allowing members to access a library of games for free in something called Humble Trove. The games include well-known titles like Trine, lesser-known indie games, and games funded through and only available from Humble, also called Humble Originals. Everything can be downloaded free of DRM, which potentially means they will be available even after a member has cancelled their subscription. IO Interactive have officially become an independent studio after concluding negotiations with Square Enix. Most importantly, they have retained the rights to the Hitman franchise. Originally starting as an independent studio, IO were with Square Enix for 8 years and have parted ways on good terms. CEO Hakan Abrak says they now have complete control over the direction of the studio and the Hitman IP, and they are now open to future collaborators and partners. This also brings about a small pricing change for the most recent game, paving the way for future games. The intro and upgrade packs will be replaced with a single complete season, combining everything into one purchase. Those who don't own all of the episodes will be able to purchase the complete version at a discount relative to the amount they already own. This also makes it look like future seasons won't be released episodically. In case you didn't already know, the Steam Summer Sale began on the 22nd and will run until the 5th of July. Along with the traditional card drops for browsing your discovery queue, the gimmick this time round is a sticker pack. Yep, completing certain activities like adjusting your discovery settings or adding a game to your wishlist will drop you a pack of virtual stickers, which you can slap onto a range of pages with various backgrounds. These stickers can't be traded or sold, but complete pages will remain available after the sale ends, although what use they'll be, I'm not sure. The finalists for the BAFTA Young Game Designers Awards have been announced in two categories, Best Game Concept and Best Game Making, as well as two age brackets, from 10 to 14 and from 15 to 18. Winners in each category and league receive mentoring from an industry professional, tours of JGEX, Ubisoft and Criterion Game Studios, and a finished prototype of their projects. Unity Technologies will also be endowed with a Game Designers Hero Award for the creation of their Unity development tool. The winners will be announced on the 8th of July. In game release and update news, Rainbow Six Siege has tripled its concurrent player count, going from 12,000 players at launch to a new peak of 65,000. While the game is often in Steam's top 10 most playlist, this most recent spike has allowed it to enter the top 5 for the first time. As always, the success is due to extended support after release, consisting of new content, events, and balancing, as well as discounts and free weekends. First announced at E3 2015, Shenmue 3 has suffered a setback, moving the game's release date all the way back to the second half of next year. The title raised over $6 million through Kickstarter, and the game's progress so far has been summarized by director Yu Suzuki. The team has been able to discover new possibilities and expressions using technology, and in many ways, the game has become bigger and more beautiful than I initially expected. A director's cut version of comedy espionage game Jazzpunk has been released, beefing up the original with features that the developers didn't have time to include before launch. Co-developer Luis Hernandez says this version has some of the best jokes of the series, as well as additional story, cyberpunk elements, and some vehicular combat. It is also joined by Flavor Nexus, a DLC that adds a lost chapter to Agent Polly Blank's story. Microsoft have revealed a big change of course for Minecraft. With the most recent Better Together update, the Windows 10, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, mobile, and VR editions will all be able to connect to each other through the Xbox Live service. Servers can now be set up that allow almost any device to join in and play together. A purchase made using Minecraft coins will be available on all your devices, and each version will now be identical, leaving everyone on the same page. That is, everyone but those using the original version. Now renamed to Minecraft Java Edition, what was once the only version of Minecraft misses out on all of these features. With the addition of the Minecraft Store, which asks players to pay for mods and texture packs, the previously huge modding community has been split. This new version of Minecraft is coded in C++ rather than Java, meaning original mods are completely incompatible without some serious reworking. Microsoft say the game files are now more easily accessible and editable and won't be volatile to breaking every update, but C++ is not as reverse engineerable as Java, making mod support harder. They say they eventually want everyone making mods as they were before, building the same systems they have in the past, but now in a quote official capacity. Doing this will make a split in both the community and the history of the game, With one version now officially preferred over another, they fall into risk of, and have already, having different feature sets. Along with the Better Together update came an official 4K HDR graphics pack, updating the textures and the lighting system. It mimics the same effect as a Java shader mod, adding dynamic shadows, god rays, movement and vegetation, directional lighting, and edge highlighting, among other things. While the original Minecraft look will stay in place, players can switch over to something previously only a modded game would be able to do. Of course, this too isn't available for Java Edition players. This also locks out anyone on a PC not using Windows 10, as even if they wanted to join in, they can't. The Java Edition kickstarted a YouTube revolution and made Minecraft into the success it is. Microsoft are gambling with that as they seek to divide and unify the playbase, always aiming for the claimed utopia of an omnipresent and closely controlled Windows 10. Everywhere, all the time. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds has revealed the near and far future update roadmap. Coming first in this month's patch is an improvement to server stability. Following this will be a 3D replay feature, allowing you to watch your matches over again with things like a free-roaming camera and slow motion, a vaulting and climbing system that will let you clamber over walls and onto abandoned vehicles, a weather system which adds rain, fogs and sunset, having an effect on visibility, and a new bullpup assault rifle. Sometime after all these things will come two new maps, one set in Peru containing ruined cities and sandstorms, and another in the Adriatic with a derelict Soviet spaceport and snowfall. A zombies mode that sees players restricted to melee only versus four fully armed players is also coming, although no clear idea on when. The devs say the final plan is to make Battlegrounds a stable platform overall, allowing generous modding to turn it into all kinds of different things. Super Meat Boy creator Edmund McMillan has announced his next game, The End Is Nigh. In the same cartoon style now standard in his games, The End Is Nigh is a dark, somewhat gross game in which a blobby protagonist must platform his way through a post-apocalyptic environment, full of pain and suffering, so he can find a friend. Or, more specifically, so he can build a friend out of bits of people he finds along the way. McMillan says this is a deeply personal game, as well as being the biggest he has ever made, referencing the 600-plus interconnected levels included. He describes it himself as VVV meets 1001 Spikes with a Spelunky control setup. It is out on the 25th of July. If you were alive in 1993, then you might remember a platformer on the Super NES featuring a cat named Busby. Well, he's back for the first time in 21 years, and more importantly, he's coming to Steam. Busby, the Woolies Strike Back, is a 2.5D platformer that will be published by now-resurrected publisher Accolade. The company are also keen to bring back some of their other properties, like Hardball, Slave Zero, Deadlock, Eradicator, Redline, and more. Dota 2 now has a co-op story campaign. Stiltbreaker Act 1, The Sands of Fate, is the first ever multiplayer campaign for Dota, and brings with it a host of new powers, items, and characters. Players must hunt down Ryzik the Corruptor, who has been summoned from the depths of the Dark Reef by a mysterious figure called Stiltbreaker. Quest-specific items called artifacts can now be equipped as they are found, and the storyline is expected to make new connections and twists between characters new and old. It is only available through buying the International 7 Battle Pass, which goes for $10. Act 2 will release next month. Konami say Pro Evolution Soccer 2018 on PC will be the, quote, best place to play the game. They acknowledge previous PC versions have been based on older generations of the game, but claim this version will be completed to the highest standard. They also say there is a massive visual improvement, and they have been working closely with Nvidia to optimize the title for their GPUs. It comes out on the 12th of September. Final Fantasy XIV's second expansion, Stormblood, has been plagued by DDoS attacks. Since the early access of the expansion on the 16th of June, and continuing past its release date on the 20th, players have been faced with congested servers and login queues up to 6,000 places long. Load times have been increased overall, and some quests have become impossible to complete. Square Enix say they are doing everything they can to stave off the attacks, but are being foiled by constant change in strategy from the attackers. They also reiterated that personal and character data have not been compromised. Take-Two Interactive have gone on a mod and cheat banning spree with some pretty disastrous results. Four systems were issued with a cease and desist letter. The first three were openly cheats, Lexicon, Menu, and Force Hacks. Their sites have been shut down, and the owners will be forced to pay the proceeds to a charity of Take-Two's choice. The fourth, however, was a system called Open4. Open4 allows players and mod creators to change and edit the game's files, and is widely used by machinima creators and large in-game projects. Rockstar say they were told to shut down in order to protect the GTA Online community from malicious mods. In a response letter, the team behind Open4 say any mod created using their system has a built-in restriction that prevents the players from logging onto a GTA Online server while the mod is installed. They say Take-Two are wrong, and they know it too. Quote, "Yes, we can go to court and yet again prove that modding is fair use and our actions are legal, but we decided not to. Going to court would take at least a few months of our time and a huge amount of efforts, and at best, we'll get absolutely nothing. Spending time just to restore status quo is really unproductive, and all the money in the world can't compensate for the loss of time." Rockstar has declined to comment further. Independent site GTA Forums has also commented, saying they have always been strong advocates of modding and do not support cheating. Quote, "We've maintained a good relationship with Rockstar Games because of this. Our modding community is built to certain guidelines developed over the years to encourage the freedom and fun that modding stands for, and there has never been a problem until the shutdown of Open4 last week. It is pretty much the only tool out there that paves the way for creators and players to get mods into the game. Open4 played an enormous part in the community, and the response to its shutdown speaks volumes. Single-player modders and machinima creators have lost out the most. In addition, a nearly 80,000 signature strong change.org petition has popped up, and people have taken to Steam in the tens of thousands to leave negative reviews, resulting in a mixed overall rating and 27,000 not recommendeds. The interesting thing is, Open4 has been around since 2011, and versions supporting GTA 5 launched over 2 years ago. Open4 will still work if you already have it installed, but currently there is no legitimate download source. Blizzard has silently released a change to Overwatch that will severely limit the effectiveness of image recognition aimbots. The specific type of aimbot works by latching onto the coloured outlines on player characters. Now, Overwatch will change the colour values of those outlines ever so slightly as a match progresses, meaning the bots will no longer have a confirmed target. Adapting the bot to target a colour range won't work either, as it will become distracted by the same colours in the map environments. The update hasn't been officially announced or even confirmed, meaning there could be more anti-cheat measures that we don't know about yet. Valve have taken a different tack in going about the upcoming Team Fortress 2 balance update. This time they are revealing the changes before they are made and receiving community input and feedback. They also say the process has been influenced by community discussions, playtime data, conversations with players across the skill spectrum, and of course playtesting. The update itself makes changes to weapons and class mechanics in an effort to nerf the overpowered and make sure the class is being played as intended. Some classes will get more attention than others. For example, the Scout is having a variety of weapon stats and playoff changes, while the Engineer is so far only getting one. The full list can be found on the TF2 website, and you can reach out to them through the contact form there as well. In esports news, at the Dota 2 Epicenter tournament in Moscow, mixed team Liquid beat another mixed team, Evil Geniuses, 3-1, netting $250,000 and playing against 9 other teams. Russian-Ukrainian team Virtus Pro beat mixed team Secret 3-2 in the Dota 2 Summit 7 held in LA. They won $42,000 and played against 7 other teams. And lastly, in Dota 2 results, the Galaxy Battles tournament in Shenzhen saw Chinese-Australian team Newbie beat mixed team Planet Odd 3-0, winning 69,000 and playing against 7 other teams. The StarCraft 2 European qualifiers were held in Jönköping, Sweden, seeing the US player Neeb fend off 61 other players, collect 25 grand, and secure a place in the World Championship Series Grand Final. The 4 semi-final teams have been selected for the Overwatch Apex Season 3 in Korea, meaning we'll see AF Blue vs Envious and Kongdu Panthera vs Lunatic High in the upcoming days. The top team is in to win $88,000. At the Hearthstone Star Ladder I-League Star Series Season 3 finals in Kiev, Ukraine, US player Zale came out on top, winning all of his matches 4-2 and collecting $11,000. He played against 7 other players. Swedish team Fnatic beat European team Diginatus 4-3 in the Heroes of the Storm Global Championship mid-season brawl, also held in Jönköping, winning 100,000 and competing against 11 other teams. A best-of-three rematch between CSGO E-League Major 2017 finalists Astralis and Virtus Pro took place in Atlanta. Virtus won the first match 16-7, then lost the next two 16-4 and 16-3, the same results ratio as their original game. Astralis took home 250,000. The match was also shown on TBS. Also in CSGO, Brazilians SK Gaming beat Swedes Fnatic 2-1 in the DreamHack Summer Tournament, again held in Jönköping. They collected $50,000 and played against seven other teams. And lastly, in match results, Scottish-Italian team Flipside Tactics beat European team Gale Force 4-2 in the Rocket League DreamHack Championship Jönköping. They won $20,000 and competed against 25 other teams. The British Esports Association and the Westminster City Council have partnered to create an after-school esports program. Students between the ages of 10 and 13 participating in the pilot scheme will compete in Rocket League matches, as well as give broadcasting and coaching a go. Organisers say the club will help kids, parents and teachers to understand esports better, including the career paths it offers. They also say it will build social and collaboration skills that can be used in other areas of their lives. British Esports Content Director Dominic Sacco says they are looking to create more esports talent in the long term, and findings from this pilot will help other clubs to set up around the country. Yahoo Esports, a once valuable platform for up-and-coming esports games, has shut down. After Yahoo's merger with AOL to make the new company Oath, the esports arm has strangely been deemed not to align with a new company strategy, focusing on growing the Yahoo Sports brand. Head of esports media Travis Gafford thanks the esports community for their passion and support, as well as the Yahoo esports team. The jobs lost will be among the 2,100 cut because of the merger. Intel and the ESL have struck a deal that will see the creation of the $1 million Intel Grand Slam prize. The prize will be given to the first team that wins 4 of the last 10 major CSGO events between DreamHack and ESL and is awarded on top of the regular prizes. Additionally, if a team manages to stop another team from winning their 4th event and claiming the prize, they will win a bonus $100,000. This also has the effect of resetting each team's progress, giving them all equal opportunity to try again. Intel CEO Stephen Fund says, "We have been one of the very first companies to believe in esports and have supported it for over 15 years. This year, we have decided to take our commitment to the next level. We are excited to level up our partnership with ESL, invest into the development of future esports stars, and create premier events like the Intel Grand Slam." Fighter Injustice 2 is the latest game to get a big money tournament through E-League. In October this year, 16 players will compete for a share of $250,000, with feature matches being broadcast on TBS in America. E-League say they had a good experience holding a Street Fighter V tournament and chose Injustice so they could experiment with other games. Daybreak have also announced a tournament, the H1Z1 Elite Series. Teams and individuals from 4 world regions will compete internally for a share of $250,000. Then the top players will face it off for a $1 million prize pool. Both pros and amateurs can compete, with the first regional event taking place at DreamHack Atlanta in the state of Georgia. The top sellers on Steam this week were PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, Tekken 7, Dying Light, The Following, Call of Duty, Black Ops 3, Zombies Chronicles, Friday the 13th, CSGO, Northgard, GTA 5, H1Z1, King of the Kill, Football Manager 2017, Rising Storm 2, Vietnam, Ori and the Blind Forest, and Arma 3. Finally, my favourite story was, EA is doing some experimenting that might lead the future of narratives in games to one powered by AI. CEO Andrew Wilson says AI has come to a point where you can teach it enough using creative works that it can eventually make new things in the same style. Quote, "What we know about neural networks and machine learning these days is that you can feed a computer every poem that Emily Dickinson has ever written, then give it a subject, and it will write you an Emily Dickinson-esque poem that to a layman like me is indiscernible from the real thing. The same goes for something visual like a painting by Monet." The first application he can think of for this technology is a game like Battlefield. What if you wanted to build a new Battlefield experience and you fed it every war story ever written? Could it tell you new and interesting personal stories on a real-time basis every time you engage? He goes on to say the same could be done for acting performances sourced from war films, using the collated data to create an infinite, real-time character set. Wilson says he has lab groups company-wide already working on this, and is giving around 5 years before it begins to enter the industry. It could also work for tightly controlled, already established universes as well. Because these networks operate on a rule set, things can be generated that don't break the particular rules of a style or universe. You could do things like generate each one of the smuggling missions Han Solo has presumably run, but are never mentioned or detailed. 5 years is a short time frame, but Wilson genuinely believes in both the concept and the team he has behind it. You can become a patron of the show at patreon.com/7daysofgaming. Get snazzy rewards and perks in return for everything you donate, going towards improving quality and equipment. Whoever signs on before we reach $20 a month will enter into the Hall of Fame, where you can have two links of your choosing displayed on the website. Thanks a bunch for listening to the episode. You can check out the show at 7daysofgaming.com and sign up for the email list, where you get a new podcast in your inbox every week. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Twitter at 7_D_G, leave a like on the Facebook page, and join the Steam group. The show is also on YouTube. It's quick and easy to find if you don't have access to your usual podcast device. Any kind of feedback is very welcome. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes and say what you think about the show, or drop by the website and leave me a note. I might even read it out on the next episode. Share the show around with anyone you know who's interested in PC gaming. Keep them current. Thanks to Rocco W for the music, and see you next week.